You found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two of VSiN's Primetime Action. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. Football coming up, about 20 minutes from now. Panthers and the Houston Texans. A lot of implications here in studio. Just made a bet. I made an in-game wager on the San Francisco Giants. They are headed to extra innings. I laid the minus 143. It's about minus 138. You can get it 5 cents better right now. And if you're saying, hey, you could have gotten them at a much better price when the game started, yes. However, headed into the 10th inning now, the Giants are going to the top of their order, whereas the Padres have cleared the meat of their order. So this is stacked in favor of the Giants, and that is why I feel it's a good bet to bet the Giants right now. So that is in the hopper right now. Update on all the scores, Kelly. What do you got?
I don't have them prepared, obviously. Let's see. How about college football? College football, the big one tonight between Marshall and Appalachian State. App State already up on Marshall. That game is 7-0. 6 minutes left in the first quarter. App State 9.5 live and 62.5 is your live total. I guess you do. There is one more game going on against Arkansas Pine Bluff and Alcorn State. That is 17-7. Arkansas Pine Bluff, 6 minutes left in the first. I do not have live numbers on that one for you guys. Giants Padres, 6-6 in the 10th. Gil just laid that one out well. Nats up on the Reds, 1-0 in the bottom of the fourth. Reds still a live betting favorite, though, minus 140, 160. Nationals plus 130, 6.5 live total. Pirates all over the Phillies early, 6-0 in the top of the third. Pirates are a minus 800 live favorite. Phillies plus 525.
Phillies have no interest in making the postseason. Braves lose today. Golden opportunity. They trail the Pirates 6-0.
It's wild. Indians up on the White Sox 1-0. That game in the top of the sixth inning. Live numbers currently off the board. Rangers and Orioles scoreless bottom of the third. Rangers minus 135 live, Orioles plus 105. I have so much money on this game tonight, guys. I'm
gonna say
tell
if you care about this game,
Blue Jays and
Twins. Are not an Orioles fan. If you do not live in Arlington or Baltimore, what are you doing with your life?
Blue Jays and Twins. That last game going right now. That is scoreless. Top of the second inning. Blue Jays minus 200 live. Twins plus 160. 8.5 the total.
WNBA playoffs tonight, Matt. I'm seeing on a screen up here. Candace Parker ready to take the court. Do you have any? You have any action on this?
I do not. That is going to come as a shocker to you.
Let's get Daniele on the horn. See what she's got going tonight.
Oh, guys, I'll tell you why that game actually means something.
Which game?
The Orioles and Rangers.
Oh, I know.
Diamondbacks beat the Braves today.
Yeah.
Oh,
they are 49. Right. They are 49-104.
You are fascinated by the race for the worst record.
Yeah. I didn't know. I didn't even know it was a race until a couple of days ago. And then when I saw that it was an actual thing, the Orioles 48-104. They could be 48-105 after tonight.
You know, we might have to ask Johnny about that. We might need a prop market up just for Matt. Who finishes with the worst record in Major League Baseball?
Who would your money be on?
I mean, it's got to be the Orioles, right?
I don't think so. The Orioles show up every night, man. They put out a good performance.
Oh, man. That was even more reason to ask them because you guys actually disagree on.
Well, I hadn't looked at the schedule to be honest with you. Like, if we're being honest, I don't know. I have not tracked who the Orioles play to close out the season.
Yeah, the Orioles used to be one of the great franchises. Like the way we speak about the Cardinals, the Cardinals way. There used to be something called the Orioles way. They used to be one of the great franchises in all of baseball. And now they are just perennially a dumpster fire.
Okay, so the Diamondbacks would be an overwhelming favorite to finish with the worst because they have three left against the Giants, three left against the Dodgers, and then three against the Rockies.
Well, the Orioles, while this is the first of four against the Rangers, close out with six against three against Boston, three against Toronto.
That's true.
Yeah. This is an interesting. Johnny's going to post this. He's going to put this.
We'll
up.
Ask Johnny today.
He's going to post this,
and Johnny will do that thing where he lowers his glasses and he repeats himself slowly. He'll be like, "Now, what did you guys say again?" And he writes it down as if he cares.
Right? Yeah. Like, I can't find a pen. Where's a pen? Oh yeah, am I writing off camera here? Yeah, I got you, Gil. I got it now.
Well, remember last time he was like, "Oh, that's a good one, Matt." And then I gave one. He was like, "Oh, sure, fantastic. Gil." And just out of courtesy, he wrote it down.
So yeah, I'll write that one down.
Sure,
too,
that's
totally.
A good one, Gil. Sure. All right, so we are coming up on Thursday Night Football. For those who missed your thoughts on it in the first hour, Matt, explain your bets once again and how you think this game, bets aside, how you think this is going to transpire.
Yeah, one last thought. That you can get tickets to this Orioles-Rangers game tomorrow.
Oh, you looked up the secondary
market. $7.
$7.
Yeah.
Party. You could pay in quarters.
Party like it's 19.
Just walk in with a pocket full of quarters. You can get into the baseball game.
It's like the mid-80s.
That's a bargain right there. Just go ahead and do it. Yeah, so again, this was, and I know people are going
to
have...
Up to 9 at the South Point.
People are going to have nightmares about injury reports and things and how they went last week for us. That being said, we're going to read them anyway. Of course, no Tyrod Taylor tonight. Kanu Neal is out, linebacker for the Texans. Justin Reed, safety for the Texans, is out. Defensive end Jordan Jenkins for the Texans is out. Terrence Marshall for the cornerback for the Texans is out. Danny Amendola, Nico Collins, both wide receivers, out for the Texans as well. So this is, not a great injury report. That being said, we made this play, the second I saw this come out. So it wasn't,
we all kind of
nothing,
did.
Nothing about the injury report whatsoever went into me making this bet, Gil. You know what I'm saying? So the only thing I needed to know was a third-round rookie was making his first start, and that was all I needed. That was all I needed.
Yeah, so
On a short week. This is all gravy. This is all just gravy here. Really, we're looking at a team here that has really outperformed what we thought on the defensive side of the ball. When you take a look, number 2 overall defense by Pro Football Focus, number 1 overall defense DVOA, 10th pass rush win rate, 6th run stop win rate. They are doing everything really well. They rank first in the NFL in every single one of these categories. Points allowed, yards allowed, first downs allowed, passing yards allowed, rushing yards allowed, yards per carry allowed, sacks, sack rate, quarterback hits, and quarterback pressures. That is ridiculous.
That is the royal flush.
Yes, that is absolutely ridiculous. Look, you can point to the Saints, had offensive coaches out and hadn't been home in a while. And all. It's still a Sean Payton coach team that they held to the worst offensive performance under his coaching tenure there in New Orleans. And, it's just – and you're talking about, the Jets. Well, yeah, they harassed the Jets, and they harassed Zach Wilson, a rookie quarterback, making his first start in the NFL. What do we have tonight? A rookie quarterback making his first start in the NFL. So, there's no reason to believe that anything is going to go differently tonight for this team. Sam Darnold, listen, getting out and getting some actual coaching and getting some actual talent and players around you, it's not lighting the world on fire, but he's a 13th graded quarterback through 2 weeks. That's ahead of a lot of other big names in the NFL right now. He's averaging 8 yards per attempt here in 2021. His whole career as a Jet, he averaged 6.6 yards per attempt. You can just see that there, when you have actual real coaching, when you have an actual play caller that knows how to utilize the talent around, and oh, by the way, you actually have the talent to utilize, because that was the other thing that he didn't have when he was there. The other thing, this Texans defense, look, the run defense, not so great here. So you look at Christian McCaffrey, and this was the other reason why I was kind of thinking that any of those Hubbard props that were out there might be interesting, because this game, one, if they actually do utilize 2 backs a little bit more than they have, or 2, this thing gets out of hand and they get McCaffrey on the sideline. But the Jags and the Browns combined for a running back rushing line against this Texans team of 40 carries for 215 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's 5.38 yards per carry against this Texans team. And so now, insert a much better team, a much better team than the Jets, than the Jags, and you're going to get even better results here. So one of the other things I really like about this is they should be able to control the ball really at all levels here. You look at Davis Mills. I'm sure he's a nice guy. He's probably super smart. Went to Stanford.
I'm
sure he's a lovely guy.
But
he filled in last week. 8 for 18, 102 yards. He did have a touchdown, but he threw a pick as well. He got strip sacked, but they did recover the fumble, so he didn't lose the fumble recovery on that. He committed 5 turnovers in 3 preseason games against what were likely to be 2s that he was playing against the majority of the time, because they were getting Tyrod Taylor reps in the preseason as well. So they were getting him reps. And so Mills wasn't coming in against like when the starters were still in the game. I mean, this was when he was still in there. You can see on your screen right now in the preseason, a 45.5 grade, a sub 50% completion percentage, a yards per attempt of 5.1. I mean, this is all just incredibly, incredibly low. And the thing is, you're going to say, well, yeah, he was playing with twos. He wasn't playing with one. Well, he's playing with twos tonight. I mean, he's playing with a bunch of guys that aren't any good as it is. You know, I mean, outside of, like we said, outside of a couple of guys that are, you know, veterans that are showing up and they're going to certainly, you know, give it their all. It's a bunch of rejects that are on this Texans team. I mean, they have five different running backs. Who knows who's going to get the carries tonight? No clue how that's going to work out. It seems like they're favoring Ingram, but you know, maybe not. That being said, the Panthers' run defense has been very, very good as well. So again, this teaser leg to me is just incredible. I love it. I mean, maybe we'll see if I still love it here in about, you know, 45 minutes, but I love it a ton and can't imagine this thing going sideways outside of, again, major injuries on the Panther side, which is a real thing in football.
Yo, so I'm jacked up. Matt's got me ready to go.
Yeah, ready to go.
Let's cast some early teaser legs.
Yeah, is it too much to ask for this to be a coast or two?
Like, I would like to coast. This?
That would be nice.
That would be nice.
That would be
I
nice.
I would love to coast. I would love to coast.
I would really enjoy that. We will take, before kickoff, we'll take a look, though, at the aforementioned odds to have the most wins in the regular season this year and the odds to have the fewest wins in the regular season this year. We will do that next, right here on VSiN's Primetime Action, live from the South Point Hotel Casino on the tip of the Strip.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back at the South Point, Gil, Matt, Kelly, doing a little football watching in a bit, about to start in Houston, between the Panthers and the Texans. Giants were set up beautifully in the top of the 10th, and yeah, not so much. Pop-up with runners at first and second. Pop-up ground ball, and so the Padres are in business now. Of course, with the ghost man at second, runner starts at second base, and so Trent Grisham will take his hacks. Padres in the driver's seat.
But what we used to call in the old green zone, Gil, that was a jelly splatter. Like, that was if you dropped a jar of jelly and it just splattered everywhere because you had two runners on.
Yeah. Two 3-0 counts.
Just a disaster.
And, like, we figured out that the biggest disaster for Kelly would be dropping a jar of jelly splattering over because he had carpet in his kitchen.
I did at the time, yeah.
Carpet in your kitchen.
Yeah. I just moved into the condo and there was leftover carpet. They're like, what do you want to do with this? I'm like, put it in the kitchen for a bit.
Disgusto.
Yeah.
It's gone now.
What do you do when the jelly splatters everywhere? Then you got carpet everywhere.
All I know is once or twice I dropped something and it was glass and it didn't break. And I was like, if only Matt and Adam Candy could see this now.
Yeah, look at that.
Adam Candy got in on the action, too.
He was killing me for it, yeah.
But he did it in an awesome radio voice.
Let's not forget that.
Okay, as promised, let's look at these. Odds to have the most wins of the regular season this year in the National Football League. These adjusted, of course, after 2 weeks of the season. No surprise that the Buccaneers are plus 350. 2-0 team. Chiefs, even though they're 1-1, and even though the Niners are 1-1, they're 6-1. The Bills and the Rams are 7-1. Everybody else double digits. Again, this is for the most wins when all is said and done in the regular season this year. Mateo, does that Browns 16-1 interest you at all?
It's minimally interesting, but it's like it's gonna be the Bucks. I mean, it's gonna be the Bucks, especially with the way things have started to shake out with them as well.
In that division,
like the Saints looking like they're not going to be as strong. The Falcons, like we thought the Falcons were at least going to be stout enough to maybe test them a couple times, like looking like they're going to be incredibly easy wins. So it's just everything is starting to fall into place for this Bucs team to kind of, I'm not going to say cruise. They've got to test this weekend for sure. But it is so good. They're so well-rounded. And then that division that they play in with all those guys, it's going to be them. But, you know, if we had to play a long shot, I think the Browns are interesting.
I would say I think you're spot on with that, Matt. And honestly, plus 350, not even that bad odds to bet right now. This was 2-1 to plus 250. Yeah, I'm not jumping on that at all. Plus 350, I wouldn't knock anybody going out there and betting that. The one, there's some confusing ones on here to me a little bit. Like the, okay, I know the Seahawks have not got, they're off to an 0-2 start.
Yeah.
But they're theoretically three times more unlikely than the 49ers to finish there. Like, the 49ers feel really short, and the Seahawks feels really long. I guess you could throw the Packers in there, too.
I was going to say, if you're going to bet the Packers, just give me the money.
Well, the Hawks are 1-1. Remember, they clubbed the Colts in week one. So, right. so they're not 0-2. So they are 1-1. Yeah, I mean, I think that this is just kind of a reflection of the divisions, right? I mean, you see, the only thing that doesn't make sense to me is the Niners. Like, that one just doesn't make sense.
Right. Like there shouldn't be big of an outlier in that division.
Like, the Bills being 7-1, because look at that division that they play in. The Bucs, the way things are starting to shake out. The Chiefs should handle their business. But, you know, again, I think that there's a game this weekend. There is a game this weekend.
I just want to applaud the San Diego Padres, ladies and gentlemen, even though I have a bet against them here, for bunting with runners at first and second and nobody out as a home team that's in a tie game. Way to go, Jace Tingler and the San Diego Padres. One out, runners in second and third. Sorry, Matt, I just felt the need.
Oh, no, that is a, you know what?
Yeah.
We give tips to the Caps around
Listen,
here.
When that's a bunt happens in extra innings, we stop everything we're doing and applaud.
Although I feel bad because you are one of the few people that has been clamoring for it all year,
yes.
And it's coming again. Now it's happening against you.
For 2 years.
In a bit.
And now they're doing it against me.
now they're using it against
me. Now all they need is a pop-up, and the Giants will lose. All right, let's go to the odds for the fewest wins in the regular season. I think we know what the usual suspects here will be at the short shot, at the top of this market, if you will. I'm going to guess once again, the DraftKings markets, no one likes the Lions. Remember when we talked about the team to go the longest winless, the Lions were plus 125. They were the short shot. They're also the team that is the short shot to have the fewest wins in the regular season. 3-1. Jets are 4-1. Jags plus 450. Texans 5-1. Everybody else double digits. I just don't get the Lions thing.
I don't really get it. They have enough talent to steal a couple of wins this
year. And it's
year.
Not like their division is
so
rough
too.
Either.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and you look, what is one of these things is not like the other, right? I mean, at least you have a veteran quarterback with the Lions, right? Then you go Jets, Jags, Texans, and you've got rookie, and then what probably I mean, if Tyrod Taylor's out for 4 weeks, Are you going back to him after? I mean, don't you just ride it out with Mills? Like, because at that point, you just want to lose. Like you as an organization, you want to lose, right? And so, at least these other three teams are likely to be rolling out rookies for the rest of the year as well. So I don't get the Lions either. I don't get the Lions either. It's going to be the Jets or Jags or Texans, in my opinion. I don't think there's any question about it.
It's another one where I would say I'll take the Jaguars at plus 450 and prove me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Easy. By the way, loser video for Young Gil. Padres beat the Giants 7-6. Terrible footwork on that. There you go.
You're a loser.
I am. But I would make the bet over and over again. I just think that was the right bet to make. So Padres win, which means the Giants now, for a moment, looked like they were going to have a 3-game lead maybe tonight with 9 left over the Dodgers when the Dodgers were down to the last out and the Giants had taken the lead. Instead, it's a 1-game lead with the Dodgers winning in dramatic fashion and the Giants losing in extras, Dodgers winning in extras. So 9 games left, 1-game lead for the Giants, but a much more favorable schedule for the Giants down the stretch. 3 against the Diamondbacks, 3 against the Rockies, 3 against the Padres.
You know it'd be a fun one to have in your account? The Colts at 22-1. That would be a fun one to have in your account.
When it looked like Aaron Rodgers was not going to play, I made a preseason bet on the Packers having the fewest win.
It would be a fun one to have because you look and likely to be without him this week. You think that they lose to Tennessee, so now you go to 0-3 on the season. They're not going to be, even if Wentz comes back, you're going Dolphins, Baltimore. Now you do get the Texans, but then San Francisco, Tennessee again. That would be a fun one to have. I think that one could be quite interesting, especially if this whole thing with, I mean, listen, these high ankle sprains, how long have we seen these things linger before?
Oh, quite some time.
Yeah. So to think that he's just going to like bounce right back, I don't think is the craziest thing in the world. And so I don't know. That would be a fun one to have. I don't think it actually manifest, but I mean, that one, that would be the only long shot that I could at least put in the account and be like, all right, because they could play their way into it because they play against the Texans and they play against the Jags. You know, they could play their way into the worst record.
Yeah, I think that was the only one on, I think that was the only one on that graphic where they're past the first like five that you could actually make.
Yeah, you're right. If it's Brent Hunt, if it's Hundley slash Eason, right? Or right. Even if it is Wentz, but certainly if it's Hundley and Eason, who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows how wayward this could go? We are underway, by the way, in Houston. Texans kick off to the Panthers. Panthers will start after the touchback, first and 10 from their own 25. Kelly's clapping. We're pumped.
Let's go.
Let's go. Darnold's going to throw.
Touchdown!
That is not what happened.
8-yard button hook. Let's go.
But we'll take 7 yards on first down. As Darnold comes out throwing from under center. So that is underway. We will follow that. I like your Colts. I like your Colts play there as a potential fun one.
Well, kind of one of those, like, yeah. I said, they could play their way into the work because they go up against two of the other most likely candidates. So, like, you lose to the Texans or you lose to the Jags, and you've kind of played yourself into that. So, I mean, at least there's – we always talk about if we're going to make these longer shot bets, is there at least a path to where we can draw the line to that actually happening? And so you're going up against these other teams – that could be in the mix for that. So, oh boy.
Ooh, Darnold threw it in traffic.
Oh boy.
Lucky to be incomplete.
All right, Sammy, calm down.
He's all jacked up.
Sam,
it's Thursday night football. He knows what's going on.
This receiver is surrounded by four Texans.
Yeah.
Oh, he actually hit him right in the hands.
Yeah. Yeah, crocodile arms. He felt that coming. Third and three now. 14-15 left in the first quarter.
Just I take that back, Sammy. That was a good pass. Yeah. You got let down right there.
45 seconds into this game. Third and three, our first third down situation at their own 32. McCaffrey in the backfield with Sam Darnold, who's in shotgun now on this one. Your first little high leverage play of the game. All right, Sammy, don't let us down here. There's the pass. There is a holding? Incomplete pass.
Nothing?
No flag, nothing.
Wow.
Carolina three and out. They'll have to punt Ooh. Here.
Moore was looking around for something. I don't know if we missed anything.
Sure,
or
looks like he was being held to me, but...
A little now.
Oh, he got hooked.
Yes, it
yeah.
was.
He got hooked. Around his
big time.
He got corralled.
Yeah, yeah.
Sam Darnold, incredulous. What the?
That was a full-on hooking right there to turn his body.
The official is like in the wrong position to make that call.
Okay.
Houston
you get a pass.
With one.
You get a pass, Sammy. You get a pass, buddy.
Yeah. All right. We'll come back. We'll follow this. We'll update everything. We'll look at our Circa lines for the week in the contest, and Johnny Avella will join us. It is VSiN's Primetime Action on a Thursday night from the South Point.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. You know what makes a losing bet on the Giants go away real quick? A Juan Soto ding dong. Home run Juan Soto. So a walk, a single, and a home run. You may recall he reached base every time he was at the plate yesterday for the Nationals. He's down to 12-1 in the MVP market. There is no shot that he should be anywhere north of 2-1 at this point. He has now reached base consecutively among a litany of great stats the second half and really for the full season. But he's now reached base nine straight times. One of the all-time seemingly most unbreakable records, considered to be one of the most unbreakable records in the history of baseball, is consecutive on-base streak. That is 17. So he's now more than halfway there to the famous 17 co-held by Earl Averill in 1962, and who could forget when Piggy Ward reached base 17 times in a row back in 93. Who could forget?
I mean,
yeah,
it was Piggy, though.
It was
you
Piggy
know,
Ward.
You know, I mean, like, you know.
Two consecutive three and outs to start this game.
I will say this, though. We were not looking through, according to the Twitter machine here, we were not looking through biased eyes. Everybody was saying, you completely turned his body.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like,
yeah,
so we were sometimes when you have bets, you wonder if you're seeing things through, you know, your biased eyes because you need things to go a certain way. Everybody's saying completely rotated him in that. How is that not pass interference? So at least we were not there.
Good. And then on a second and one, McCaffrey up the gut just enough to get the first down, and we will have our first down of this ball game just a few minutes in. Panthers and the Texans. Oh, they mark him short. Pardon me. They mark him short. Third. I'm not sure how he was short, but he's third and short.
How did they come to that conclusion?
That was another one where I just looked up and saw three refs. One that's, you know, two that are supposed to be standing level with each other. One was a half yard in front of the other. And then a guy who was a half yard in front of him spotted the ball. They got to fix this.
What are we going to do?
What are you going to do?
They're getting rid of egregious foul calls in the NBA. Can't we put a microchip in the ball?
Like you said, we just played a whole slam in tennis without incident. No one complained with technology.
Fine in tennis for...
There's a sneak.
There you go, Sammy Darnold.
First down.
My new favorite team. This is my new favorite team. You got Christian McCaffrey, and everyone thinks you have to give it to him because it's like, you got Christian McCaffrey, you paid him all this money. No. Quarterback sneaks work. Use them.
They do work. Memo to Philip Rivers, who's in retirement. They work, Philip. You should have done them sometime.
Yeah, but it's also kind of cool that he didn't.
It is. It was one of the coolest NFL things ever. Big Ben stopped doing them, too, last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, first and 10 for the Panthers. 10:40 left of the first quarter. First and 10 at their own 23. Darnold, he's going to air this one. No, he's not. A little screen to Christian McCaffrey. That will go for exactly 2 yards. Let's call it a long 1 yard. That's fun.
I can't help but now every time, like, I look at the – so that guy who's coming in to mark the ball, he was just kind of walking at a diagonal line. He was just kind of like, I'm going to – it's right there is where it's going to go. Like, didn't like, run to a spot and walk straight across like they – you know, that he was just walking kind of in a diagonal. Yeah, just walking in a diagonal.
It's different when we yell about, like, we bet on these things. Like, no, this is, like, this affects the game that you referee. And then we bet on it.
Wishnev calls it the zigzag lining. The zigzag, what do you call it?
Zigzag theory?
The zigzag theory of setting the ball down.
That's pretty good.
Of putting the spot down. Here's Darnold. Uh-oh. Got a lot of time. Flushed out of the pocket to the left. Throws it. And it's going to be incomplete.
Butterfingers dropped.
Incomplete. Third and long.
He's not been helped out so far.
No.
No, he has not been.
I want to bring up something that we didn't get a chance to bring up yesterday, but you had expressed an interest in bringing this up this off air. Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea where I'm going with this?
I do not.
Okay. And here on Primetime Action, just to pull back the curtain again, we're not necessarily the show that goes, you know, with sort of group speak and group think. And one of the things that we hear rampantly is, well, the look ahead line, whether it's from before the season or weeks before. And people make a lot of handicapping decisions based on how the look ahead has changed. By the way, here's Darnold, flushed out to the right. This time he throws it over. Got a man midfield.
Beautiful.
There you go. Cross midfield, first and 10.
You know, that's my Sammy.
The past two plays, he looked like he was ready to load up to unload downfield. Didn't. Must have saw something he didn't like.
Yeah.
Kind of rolls out, avoids the pressure here, and then...
These single-digit uniform numbers are killing me. That's Mark Ingram, I think, who caught that ball. Is that Mark Ingram?
No, that is DJ Moore.
DJ Moore.
Oh, no, pardon me. I'm looking at the wrong... Yeah, Mark Ingram is with the Texans, of course. DJ Moore, yeah. But, like, number two, Mark Ingram's number two on the Texans now. You got to pull up a roster for everything. So back to that then, Matt. Explain what you mean.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think that it's fine if you want to use these things as like a gauge and you take it and it's like maybe like a baseline for some of your handicapping, how you look forward. But this is incomplete information that we're dealing with.
Yes.
And so to make a decision based off of incomplete information for me just feels like somebody is trying to look at for a crutch, right? And not trying to really go in and fully dig down into all of these different handicapping scenarios. Because again, we come into, you know, what if people referenced a look ahead line as to why they took the Texans in this game, right? And it's like, well, you know, the difference between Mills and Tyrod Taylor is pretty big, you know.
Well, let's hope they don't do that.
You know, it's a pretty big difference. But my point being is that, you know, in the NFL, more than any other sport, on a night to night, on a week to week basis, you're looking at completely different dynamics for teams depending on quarterback situations, offensive line situations, key defensive player situations, and all that. And so you have to be able to take in all of these things and say, like, okay, this line that was made that didn't know all the stuff that I know now.
Correct.
You have to be able to process all that and say, like, you know what? This might not be anything that I need to worry about. And I might not need to take this really all that seriously here, because this happened, and this happened. And while this was fine a week ago or two weeks ago or in the summer, which I saw people referencing lines like from the summer and stuff, I'm like, what are we doing here?
It is also why, because so I do, for those who don't know, a show called Guessing Lines, which I do with Chrissy Anders.
There's Darnold dealing.
DJ Moore into the red zone.
He had to already his receiving props already got to be done. So
first and goal, Panthers at the 6, halfway through the first quarter. So I do a show called Guessing Lines. It is a tribute to the old Stardust. It's the old school gambling show that Roxy Roxborough used to do from the Stardust. It's a first look at NFL lines. I am in a cocoon from from Sunday night into Monday morning. I don't know the lines, and I guess what they will be. And Chrissy tells me what he's actually going to post after the show here at the South Point right behind us. And so that very same thing you're talking about, Matt, is some of the criticism I will get, like, oh, it's 2021. You know what the look-ahead lines are. First of all, I don't, because it doesn't interest me. Touchdown, Darnold. And takes it himself.
That's 6 yards towards Reed Fowler's rushing prop on Sam Darnold.
That's right. 6-0 Panthers pending the extra
point. That was a beautiful drive.
Yes,
that was a beautiful thing.
Let's go.
Made it look easy.
And as you said, Darnold sort of was not helped on his previous plays either.
Made it look easy. Thank you.
Make an extra point, by the way.
Yeah.
Just to close this out. So that's also, I take incoming criticism on that. Where people, it's 2021. You know what the look ahead lines are. No, I don't. I don't. And it's not that difficult for me to avoid them from, you know, I'm not that interested in the look ahead lines for the reasons you state. It doesn't interest me to know. And then I want to know, based on the recency bias that people will have and that the market will have, what I think the line will be, and then we find out what it's going to be. And within that, that's an exercise to try to extract value. So it's twofold. It's exactly what you're saying. It's an overused crutch, not by all, but by some who just view it as a smart thing to say when it's not really. And it's also like, that's inherent in why I still do guessing lines. That's not interesting to me.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
And especially early on in the season, right, where we are still getting identities of these teams, trying to figure things out. And all that. Like, so a look-ahead line to me is even more irrelevant here early in the season where, I mean, we didn't think the Chiefs defense was going to be like world beaters or anything, but we also didn't think they were going to be dead last in every single category there is in all of football, you know? And so you learn a lot over the first month of the season in taking in all of this and trying to figure out the identities of these teams and who can actually do what we thought they were going to be able to do in the preseason. And who do we get it completely wrong? You know, I mean, like, we're about to watch the Panthers go to 3-0 here. And again, yes, I understand inferior competition, but nobody had that. Nobody was talking about this team, you know, in the preseason being like, oh, this is going to be, this defense is going to be one of the best defenses in all the NFL. Like, nobody was thinking that.
Yeah.
It's not a thing.
I think it's a great point. I'm glad you mentioned it. You actually texted it as a bookmark for us to remember, because otherwise we would never have remembered to do so. But it's in the many things that come up during an NFL season, and we're all hamsters on a wheel during the NFL season. We're all completely immersed in it. It's just one of those things that crops up a lot, and it just a little bit in your brain. It just always feel a little uncomfortable when people do it. Sometimes it's relevant.
Right.
Most of the time not, is all we're saying with that. We'll come back. Johnny Avello from DraftKings, Mr. Relevant. We will talk to him about all things, and we had a suggestion what we're going to do. Remember what the suggestion was?
Yes, worst record in Major League Baseball.
Worst record in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. See what Johnny says next. VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on Primetime Action, it is 7-0 Panthers over the Texans. Texans with a third and short coming up, 4:40 left in the first quarter as Davis Mills and company try to matriculate the ball down the field. 2 for 3, Mills in the early going for 9 yards. We will keep an eye on that as we bring in from behind the book from DraftKings. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Johnny Avello with his own intro music. How you doing, Johnny? How's it going?
Gil, doing real well. Thanks a lot.
Can you give us a sense of a game like this, which is this just in, not the sexiest matchup, what the kind of action nonetheless on a standalone NFL game on a Thursday night is, like a game like this?
The action is good, Gil. It's not as good as some of the other Thursday night, the other two Thursday night games we've had so far. But, you know, anytime you take an isolated game like this and, you know, it is NFL's isolated game, it's going to write a fair amount of business. But, you know, it's not touching that first Thursday night game, and it's not last week's either. But, and I can tell you, we're one-sided on the game, too. It's been pretty much all Carolina Panthers, probably about 75-80% of all the money is on them.
Johnny, is everybody going to take all of your money this week betting teasers? Please say yes.
They're going to take a shot at it. They're going to take a shot at it because, you know, when starting with tonight's game, I noticed the Carolina Panthers were in a lot of $20,000 to $50,000 two- and three-team teasers. So we're just starting a week off, and this could be the start of, you know, the big teaser push.
I like hearing it, Gil. Like hearing it.
Yes.
I want Johnny to come on here next week, and I want him to say, it was horrible week with the teasers this past week.
Johnny, do you ever take a look at that? Like say, oh, wow, our teaser volume is particularly high this week compared to other weeks. Do you ever specifically look at that?
I do. And there are weeks where, you know, the players are going to key on some. This is a perfect week to do some of those key plays. You know, Arizona, 7.5-point favorite. The Bills, 7.5-point favorite. The Browns, 7.5-point favorite. So there's, you know, there's some games that just fit in the Chiefs 6.5. There's some games that fit perfectly into the teaser mold.
Johnny, it's not a primetime game, but we do have the Bucks and the Rams, two teams that are way up there in the rankings as far as power rankings for everybody, that are way up there as far as teams that could win the NFC, could win the Super Bowl. Do you expect that one to be a pretty massively popular? I mean, we've seen this flip as far as the number as it is already, so people were hitting it at least early.
Yeah, you know, when I look at the slate this week, it looks like the marquee games were probably going to be the Chiefs and the Chargers in the morning. I think that Cleveland Bears game and will also write good business. And in the afternoon game, you know, the Raiders now are a team that people want to watch. And so I think that'll be a high profile game. But I don't think anything's going to top in the afternoon or for the whole at least the morning and afternoon games, nothing's going to top Buccaneers and Rams. Now, remember, we have a good 5:20 game, too, the Packers and the 49ers. So I think that'll also write well. And that could be that may probably do more than the Bucks-Rams game, because another one of those games that's isolated, another great matchup.
We have pennant races obviously happening in baseball in the NL East and the NL West, most famously, obviously, wild card races. Has your baseball action picked up? I know the dog days, there's probably a bit of a swoon. Maybe there isn't. You tell me. You tell us. But has it picked up here now in the last couple weeks?
You know, Gil, I'm kind of surprised as much as it's picked up, because normally what happens in baseball is, you know, it takes a sort of a backseat. I mean, who is really interested in betting, you know, Washington, Cincinnati, and some of these games are over, so you know, some of these teams are out, Texas, Baltimore, and so the whole baseball slate usually takes a hit, but it hasn't been that way. We're still writing good business on baseball. We're taking big bets on baseball, and we're getting our butts kicked in baseball too on some of these nights.
Yeah,
Johnny, I'm going to do you a favor.
Here we go.
If the Orioles hold on tonight, they will be 49-104, as will the Arizona Diamondbacks. Will you post who will finish the season with the worst record? Will you post this bet?
I don't think so, but it's not a bad prop.
They're both 49-104. Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
I mean, you know, I'm looking at everybody who's in contention. I'm looking at their schedules to see who they play, to see who has the upper hand to make the playoffs, and you know where our adjustments need to be. I'm not looking at the bottom two teams, but maybe it is something to look at. You know, to see if people are interested in betting who's going to have the most losses.
Johnny, I'm losing my mind here. I'm going to tell you why.
This is some sort of heater.
Juan Soto has just cracked another home run, his second of the night, that after a walk and a single. He has now reached base 10 consecutive times, the Major League Baseball record, one of the most unbreakable records, believed to be, of all time. It's 17. He is getting awfully close. But if you look at his numbers this last half of the year for the full year, they are really Bonzian. And I believe he is the National League MVP. I have noticed that you guys took him off the board. You took the market off the board earlier today. You reposted. Obviously, Juan Soto's number was slashed. What exactly happens behind the scenes if a guy like Soto has a big night last night this far into the season and he's a long shot? And obviously, you guys monitor all these things. But what is the conversation behind the scenes like, okay, he did this, therefore we must adjust? Are there thresholds?
The conversation is, we've got Bryce Harper, the favorite, and Tatis right behind him. So is there anybody else in contention that could win this thing? Soto is now 12-1, Gil, so, and it's up right now to be bet.
Yeah.
So it's not off the board. And so, we'll leave it up. We're aware of what's going on. If somebody wants to take the 12-1 right now, that they're welcome to do so. But the conversation is about, guys, is there another adjustment that needs to be made? Is 12 too much? Is Bryce Harper pretty much locked into this, or can he be caught? So that's the conversation.
Johnny, we talk a lot about golf betting on here, and now we've moved into the Ryder Cup here, where there is obviously a massive bias that is coming through, which is, hey, it's our country versus the rest, versus Europe. So we've seen these odds drift, basically since you guys opened them, just continue to drift towards the U.S., sitting currently at Europe plus 240 to win this thing. Is this the ultimate case of bias going on here? I mean, we used to talk about regional bias and which teams were popular and which teams were going to draw money and things like that. But I mean, this is just a country against, everybody backing them. It seems like this has gotten out of hand.
We got some pretty solid golfers in our country, guys. Let's admit it. This could be some of the best, golfers to play in a 5-year span of all time on the tour. So we're pretty loaded as a team. Can Europeans win it? Yes. And the bettors might have thought that just the price was too cheap. So it's rising. We're moving it, and we've got a lot of money on the USA right now.
How heavily bet is the Ryder Cup compared to, say, I won't say to a major, but let's say to, I don't know, let's say the fifth major, let's say TPC. Like, where does it stand handle-wise compared to something like that?
I don't think it reaches that. Because remember, our golf numbers were just off the charts this year again. But it's a tournament that people are totally aware of. We probably don't have as much to wager on this as we do on other tournaments. So I think that's probably the difference, but it writes a fair amount.
Okay. Johnny, we appreciate it. I think 12-1 still represents great value. So for those in DraftKings jurisdictions, have at it. It's up right now. It was off earlier, but it's back up at 12-1. Thank you, Johnny. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, guys. Bye-bye.
Johnny Avello, everybody. Always a gentleman, always kind to come on the show and answer as honestly as he can.
Yeah, I mean, after even initially shooting down Matt's prop bet idea, he even wavered after that. So maybe he'll get it up there.
Was
that?
I got to admit, I thought I was going to get a warmer reception to that one.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
And that was just instantly like, yeah, nobody cares about the. And I'm like, man, come on. I mean, I thought that was an interesting prop. We all didn't realize that they were tied for the worst record in Major League Baseball until a couple of days ago. Let's bring it to people's attention.
Well, I realized that. I just didn't think of the prop part. You are genius odds maker that you are and bookmaker.
Let's do
you
it.
Came up with it.
It's fired up.
By the way, how poor was my behavior during that interview when Soto hit that home run?
Pretty poor, but at least you explained it. What do you got, 100-1 ticket?
I think 100-1.
I think everybody can let it slide out there, yeah.
100-1.
They talk about like being in the zone and like heaters and stuff and all stuff like that. Like that is, that's just pure insanity.
It's now Bonzian.
Pure insanity.
We're in the Bonz range.
And bravo to DraftKings for leaving that stuff up. Like, I was wondering about that last night. Johnny's like, no, we leave it up. We'll adjust it in the morning.
Well, they took it down for a spell, readjusted it. But the one thing they do that you won't see out here is they do leave it up during the games. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is quite awesome.
Darnold anytime TD was 3-1. First TD, 12-1.
All right. We'll go to the second quarter. Still 7-0 Panthers. Carolina with the football. Coming back on VSiN's Primetime Action.